Well, today, I know we're talking about, you know, the Christmas season just started, but we're not done with the Blessed series. I have one more message to give you on the Blessed series before we jump into the Christmas series that we're going to be kicking off next week. And I believe I got a word that's going to help you. It's going to challenge you. I know it's going to challenge you for sure, so just get ready. You're going to get challenged in a good way, in a loving way, in a way that God would want to challenge you, in the way that Christ led when he was on earth and he challenged his disciples, because we are going to read a story about Jesus and his disciples. But it's gonna encourage you, and it's gonna, you're gonna leave better. You're gonna be blessed. Come on, somebody say blessed. All right, so today the story we're about to get into, we're gonna get into the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Some of you have heard that. It's been preached quite a few times, a very popular story in the Bible. It's been reading out of the book of Matthew, because it's in all the Gospels, but the book of Matthew is where I pulled the scriptures from. And I want to set you up for it and where we're at. So at this time, so it's chapter 14 in the book of Matthew. So some ministry has been going on. The word has been getting out about Jesus. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. He's been speaking. He's been healing. He's been doing miracles. He's been doing all these things. So the word is getting out. People are starting to understand who Jesus is. They've heard his teachings. Like, man, I want to hear about his teachings, because they're hearing it secondhand. Like, man, this man taught this, and it brought revelation. Like, man, I want to hear that teaching. Or people are hearing, like, man, he's healing people and people that are sick, and they're getting healed, and he's doing all these things. So, like, man, I want to be a part of that, because I need healing. So there's momentum happening in his ministry. And at the same time, Jesus has his disciples. They're along with him throughout the ministry. There's also another portion of the family, another part of the family that's doing ministry as well. And that's Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Come on. So John the Baptist baptizing people, doing ministry, preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching repentance, and he's leading people to faith. He's doing all these things, and it's just the ministry of the kingdom of God is just thriving at that time, and momentum's building. But in the midst of this momentum growing and this groundswell of just momentum of just of the faith, a tragedy takes place. John the Baptist dies. He's killed. So this is what happens. Matthew 14, 12. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. So they told Jesus right before the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So there's this state of mind that Jesus is in. Y'all got to know he is God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. But he was, when he came to earth, he was fully human. So he held all the emotions that we humans hold, and he held all the things that go through our mind. He had intellect, he had a mind. So you can only imagine just losing someone and just all of that that's going on, and then you're about to go feed 5,000 and preach to people. So that's his state of mind. So he's in there, but he understands that he's blessed and because he's Jesus, come on somebody, but he needs to do a job. God purposed him for a reason. His son sent him to the earth so that we can have his salvation. So as he goes into the feeding of the 5,000, this is what takes place. So this is where we're going to pick up at, okay? So Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word as is customary into the house. And if you need a note sheet, we have our ushers who can go up and down the aisle who have note sheets for you. And you can follow along on there. But I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Somebody say, the Bible says. Says this is when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So Jesus heard about his cousin dying, family member dying. So he withdrew and wanted to go to a solitary place. He wanted to go and be alone. He didn't want to be around people. He wanted to process what was going on. Hearing of this, the crowds follow him on foot from the towns, because remember the ministry was building the momentum. So they heard, man, Jesus is going over here, and now we got to go follow him. Jesus is trying to get away from people, but people are following him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So when Jesus saw them, yes, he wanted to be alone. He wanted to be away from the people because he was processing the emotions and just the mental weight of just losing a family, a loved one, and just of life just happening. Because the truth is, for us, we can relate. Maybe it's not a lost loved one, but just life just happens and something difficult is happening. You just want to retreat. But Jesus didn't, he stopped, he saw, and he saw, you know, he gave them compassion. He had compassion for them, so he went on to heal some of the sick, the Bible says, and to do some ministry. Verse 15, As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." He challenged them. Verse 17, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And then Jesus said to them, "Bring them to me. If that's all you have, bring it to me." Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't ask for more than what we don't have? Come on, somebody. He just says, "Bring it to me. Whatever you got, bring it to me." So that's what he tells his disciples. And he directed the people to sit down on grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So there are actually more people than 5,000. The title of my message is called "Blessed to Be a Blessing." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you brought us together in your house, Lord, to receive of this message and receive of this word, Lord. I pray that you use me, Father, as your tool, Father, as your conduit of your spirit, Lord, to share what you want to share to your people, Father. And may it fall on soft hearts, Lord. And may it be a seed for some, water to others, and just growth and fruitfulness to those that have been needing this, Lord. May it challenge them to be better and grow in their faith as disciples and followers of Christ. Speak to them by using me, Father. We put you at the center. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen, amen, and amen. Go ahead and tell 3 people, blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. I should have said that better, huh? You are blessed to be a blessing. Come on, somebody. How many of you use tools or have used a tool? Come on, there's quite a few with you. I don't even need you guys to raise your hands. I already know you guys use tools. That's what you do. You use tools. How many of you know about tools? And I mean you know about tools. Like, tools is your thing. For some guys, it's like a hobby. Like, I'm going to collect all the tools I can, all the power tools, all the hand tools. Every time I go to Home Depot, I'm going to the hardware tool section. That's where I'm going. Lowe's as well. Ace Hardware down the street. You like tools, and you know about the tools. Like, I mean, you know about the tools because, like, you don't need an instruction manual. You're just like, you've got to figure out the instruction manuals right here. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know tools so much that you got something. You got, like, a setup in your garage, like, of these toolbox sets, and you got this whole corner, every tool's hanging, it's all immaculate, but in the house, the house is dirtier than your tool corner. Come on, somebody. It's not even a setup. What it is a presentation, because you got some lights on it and everything. Come on. Come on. You know the tools. You know the tools. Some of you just use tools, but you, the one who knows the tools, you know what they are. Like that, there's a difference between using the tool and knowing the tool. This is why. Because when you use the tool, you don't fully know about it. You just like, I got this hammer. I know what it can do with a couple things. I got this power drill. I know what it can do. You got some basic knowledge. But when you know the tool, come on, somebody, you can fully maximize the purpose behind the tool and how it was created. Can I get an amen? Come on, I'm preaching tools up in here. You can fully utilize the value that it can give to whatever project that you have because you know all about the tool. There's nothing hidden about the tool. You know about it. So you can understand and know how to use it because of the purpose it was made for. There's the difference between the person who just uses a tool and a person who knows the tool. There's a difference between a believer who knows they're blessed, come on somebody, or who uses what they've been blessed with and those that know how to be a blessing. You were created to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. But there's many believers in this place, and not just in this place, in all churches, that understand that they've been blessed by God, but don't fully understand how to be a blessing or operate in that. They think that it's an either or, but it's never been an either or. It actually was a both and, meaning that God created you to be a blessing, which brings me to my point number one. You were created to be a blessing. You were created to be a blessing. It's not enough that you received a blessing from God or you receive blessings from God. God wants you to live a blessed life, but also to be a blessing to others so that when you're at home with your wife in conversation or your husband in conversation, you are being a blessing to one another, to your children. You're being a blessing to them, to the atmosphere of your home. You are being a blessing, but it doesn't just stop there or it doesn't just stop in the church. You're supposed to do that at work. You're not supposed to be in solitary confinement in your cubicle. Shelter yourself because, man, they're of the world and I got to ignore them. I got to keep to myself. You are to be a blessing to the person in the cubicle next to you that's always bothering you, bugging you, and irritates you. Can I get an amen? Same for you young people in college, you know, entering the workforce. Same for wherever you're at in your atmosphere. You are to be a blessing. If you are a believer in Christ, you are to be a blessing. That was always the plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." What is that? That is all blessing. But it's also within that plan is for you to be a blessing. Like, well, I don't read that. It's okay, I'm setting you up. What I'm trying to establish right now is that there is a plan that God created for your life that includes you being blessed and you being a blessing to others. It was never meant just half, you get blessed and that's it. That's the minimum. Like, if you can understand this, believer, that the minimum of the blessing of God on your life is that you receive, then you can know that'll be the first stepping point, this first stepping stone to living a blessed life. Then use that to know that you are to be a blessing. Then you will lock so many more things in your life, so many more blessings in your life, miracles in your life, breakthrough in your life, when you understand that you are to be a blessing. Being blessed is just one piece of the puzzle, one piece. Being a blessing are like 100 pieces. Jesus knew he needed to be a blessing. Life happens. Life takes place. Things happen. He lost his loved one. I'm not saying you shouldn't grieve. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying that when life happens and things get hard, it's really hard to be a blessing sometimes because life circumstances can take that away from you. But no matter the life circumstances that you have, God has always called you to be a blessing regardless, because that's what he created you for, to be a blessing. He didn't create you just to receive blessing. And it's important that you understand that the plan of God on your life was to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And it's important that you know that you are a blessing. You are a blessing. Turn to three people, tell them, you are a blessing. You are a blessing. I'm going to say it to online. You are a blessing. And you have to grasp this. You have to receive this. You have to know this. Because if you don't see yourself as blessed, you will never see yourself as being a blessing. If you don't see yourself as being a blessing, you can't operate in being a blessing. You just can't do that. God, this is how God works. He works with the future of you in mind and not just the present you in mind. Meaning that, yes, he blesses you in the present, but he wants to bless others through you because you are to be a blessing for your future. When you stop at just receiving the blessing and that's it, then you limit God in how he uses you and what he wants to do through you in your life. You are blessed to be a blessing. Everything we talk about, hope, plan, a future, all that comes with this in mind. And God had that in mind for you because he created you to be a blessing. And he wants to see things come through your life. There are certain things that will never come through your life unless you partner with God, such as this, and being a blessing that you will never receive. Some of you have been praying for miracles. You've been praying for healing. You've been praying for so many things. And you're saying, God, why is this not happening? I see the miracle over there. I see the healing over there. I see that wonderful marriage over there. I see those great kids over there. But it's not happening for me. Because it's possible that you might be stopping in the place of I'm just receiving the blessing instead of being the blessing. In the feeding of the 5,000, they came to him. Jesus fed the 5,000, but he fed them through them. He used them to be the blessing. He used them to produce the miracle. You are created to be a blessing. So let me read you to where it comes from, because you're kind of like, man, well, I still don't read that in Jeremiah 29:11, that I'm blessed to be a blessing. But I'm going to take you somewhere. Let's go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says this. It says, the Lord said to Abram, Abram is Abraham, Abraham is the father of our faith, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I want to stop right here before I read verse 3. I want you to see the Bible says you will be a blessing. This is a command. This is not a choice. Oh, you might be a blessing. This is not a maybe you'll be a blessing. No, the Bible says you will be a blessing. That's why many of you probably have a divine frustration welling up inside of you, because you don't want to be a blessing. You want to do the least. You just want to chill and come on Sunday and you want to see it online or what have you. But the Bible says you will be a blessing, which means it's going to require more of you, because you're going to have to partner with God to be that to those around you. You will be a blessing, the Bible says. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And I know you're thinking like, man, he spoke that to Abraham, the father of the faith. I ain't Abraham. I got you, Pastor Louis. You're reading scripture, but it doesn't include me. I'm there. How many would you would say that you belong to Christ? Come on, there's a amens, hands, feet going up. Everybody would say that, right? Well, if you belong to Christ, then this promise belongs to you. You're like, okay, I'm still not convinced. Okay, let me read you this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, which is you, come on, somebody, say, I belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham, turn to your neighbor and tell him, belongs to you. So that promise of you will be a blessing, that's on you. You will be a blessing. It's this, some of you are like, this message is for the person to the left of me, to the right of me, or the person that stayed home. No, this message is for you. You will be a blessing. And some of you are getting challenged like, man, well, where is he going with this? I'm going somewhere, because that's what preachers do. But you need to understand that you are to be a blessing. That I can't go anywhere beyond that. If this church service doesn't understand it, those of you online don't understand that you will be a blessing. God never created you to not be a blessing. As a matter of fact, God has empowered you to be a blessing. Come on, somebody. So you're not alone. Like, man, okay, he's talking about being a blessing, so how am I going to do that? What am I supposed to do? Like, I don't even get it. Like, he's just saying that. Like, no, God has empowered you to be a blessing, because he's giving you tools. He's giving you gifts. He's giving you talents, and he's giving you a call. The gift and call of God on your life is irrevocable, the Bible says. And then the Bible also says in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Let me say it another way, to bless others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So God has created you to bless others. Now, to be a blessing, there's so many ways that I can go with this, but there's one way, one big way, one in-your-face way that many believers seem to ignore, and that's to serve. And serve where? Like, what do you mean? Serve my community? Yes, you can serve your community and do all that. But God has always called us to build up the church, to serve his house, to bless his house, to be a blessing here. And like I said, I can choose so many other things that I can say. Right now, you're probably thinking about some of those things. Like, okay, I can do better in my workplace. You know, on the construction side, I can do better. I can do more than just getting by and doing minimum. I can do better, you know, in my classroom, you know, and help, you know, do what I need to do. I can do better in my home. Like, I don't have to just leave it on everybody else doing the chores. Maybe I can help. I can do better in how I speak to my significant other. I can do better so many other ways. But for the purpose of what I want to give you something that can help you today. God's called you to build his church. He's called you to serve. He's called you to be a blessing to his church. You might be thinking, like, but there's so many people that already do that stuff. Like, man, pastor, you're doing good preaching up there. I don't need to do that. No, you don't have to do that, but there's something else that you can do. You're like, but they got so many people on the welcome team, welcoming and parking. You got people, greeters. Like, I think you guys have, you know, quite a few. Like, I don't, you know, they can be the blessing. And that's probably what goes through your mind. Like, they can do it. Because this went through my mind before. Oh, he can do it. She can do it. They can do it. And the truth is, yeah, they can do it. But God has chosen you to do something as well. The Bible says, Jesus said that the workers, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That's a truth from Jesus, meaning that there's never going to be enough to fulfill the ministry of what God's trying to do. But it's always through the few that God works and produces the miracles. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all want to be a part of that few? He's called you to be a blessing. And when it comes to serving, that is one way to be a blessing and building the church. He doesn't want you just to come in and every Sunday and go out every Sunday. He doesn't want you just to show up at home and just sit on the couch and watch TV and that's it. He doesn't want you just to show up and, like I said earlier, just to do the bare minimum at work. He wants you to do more. He wants you to serve. God gave you gifts and talents to be a blessing to one another, his church, and to him. And you might be thinking, like, I don't know how to be a blessing. Where to be the blessing? Well, that's okay. Because that's why we have, you know, church. At least at Freedom House, this is why we have a system of how we can help you understand where you can be a blessing, where you can be adding value and growing ministry. What we have is called Growth Track. Somebody say amen. Got quiet in there. Like, y'all know what Growth Track is. I hope you do. We talk about it all the time. But we have Growth Track. Growth Track is specifically designed so that you can understand your purpose. You can find freedom, understand your purpose, and then serve on a dream team. So it's designed, let me put it this way, so that you can be a blessing to the dream team, a blessing to the church. Now, I don't need you to serve. Come on, somebody. All my directors and team leads are like, what, pastor? What are you doing? Come on, somebody. People are going to leave. No. I say that to say this, because you serving, yes, it benefits me, but it's going to be most beneficial to you. And I say it benefits me because our gifts serve one another. But the main reason I'm bringing this up, because you need to be serving. You need to be operating as a blessing. Because if you don't, certain things are not going to come through your life. That's just the bottom line. And it's not that God's trying to withhold something from you, but it's that the fact that you are in a relationship with Christ, relationship, it's a partnership, and there's certain things that you have to do. Not that we work for our salvation, but we work for a beautiful relationship in Christ to operate and love and be his hands and feet. And in that, blessing comes on us and blessing comes through us. Can I get amen? You need to be a blessing. You need to serve the church. You need to go through Growth Track. You need these things to fully fulfill what God has called you to, what he's placed on your heart, the dreams that he's given you, the vision that he's dropped on you. You need that. Everything I'm talking about adds value to the very thing that God has spoken to you. Serving is a big part of you being a blessing. And when you're not serving, then the church is missing the blessing. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that the church is not blessed, but I'm saying that there's a blessing that can only come through you. There's a gift that has only been given to you that God has empowered you with to give to the church. So when you're not there, something is missing. And not that the church is going to go down or is going to be not blessed, but the fact that you're not there leaves something out. There's a reason God brought you to Freedom House. It's so that you can be a part of the picture of how we do church here and how we serve and how we bless others. He brought you here for a reason and to hear this message at 10 a.m. on November 27th so that you know that you are a blessing and he wants to challenge you to be a blessing, to be that type of blessing in your serving. No one can present God with the very gift and talent that only you can give. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom many. So the mindset of us as believers to be a blessing should always come from a servant mind, a mind of a servant to serve. So many of you, the challenge is that you do need to get into Grow Track. Sign up today. You need to get online. You need to go to the connections table that's out there and sign up. You've been waiting for a sign. You've been waiting for the word. Well, you're in this church service, then now you got it. It's no coincidence that God brought you here. Some of you have graduated Grow Track, but yet you're reluctant to serve and to be that blessing. And now this is your moment to say, okay, God, you're challenging me. Okay, I'm just a messenger, everybody. Everybody smile at me. You're challenging me. And then you need to just get back in and just go and be a blessing. Some of you just have an eye for it too. Like, man, like you're like, man, I can make that better if I was on that team. Yeah, if you were on the team, you could make it better, but you're not on the team and you're refusing to be the blessing. Going back to the feeding the 5,000, right before this miracle takes place, Jesus gets news that his cousin passed away. And on this, Jesus decides to get away. He makes space for him to separate himself. And I know when life hits us, it's very easy to want to separate ourselves. My wife was right. I got a text in the middle of the night. My sister Ashley texted me. She says, Haley's in the hospital. She was in a car accident. That's all I got. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm studying, doing the message and everything. My mom calls me a little later after that, like at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:45. I'm up, I'm still doing my message. And she's crying, she's so worried, she doesn't know yet. I ain't going to lie. Fear hit me. Fear hit me. It really did. It really did. I thank God that everything's okay. She only broke her ankle. Praise the Lord. But life happened. I literally, and I don't know if it was for this message or not, but I literally was considering like, man, maybe I should call, you know, Pastor Josiah, we'll get PB down here or P, like, no. I didn't know what to do, but I knew life was happening. And I knew that was still called to be a blessing regardless of what was taking place in my life. Now, what I'm saying this not to be like, no, you don't need to grieve if maybe it is. It's like a Jesus thing where something, your family member, or, oh man, you're going through some things, like you don't need to process those things. But what I'm saying this is because you do not need to allow that to stop you from being a blessing. God has a plan for your life, remember? And part of that plan is being a blessing. God knows your life, what comes up, the battles you're going through, and he still has commanded you to be a blessing, and he still has called you to be a blessing. And that's something to think about. So if you're wondering like, man, should I or shouldn't I? The answer is this: I am called to be a blessing. And you operate from that perspective, not from the human perspective or the limited perspective. Life doesn't dictate the blessing God created you to be. And I get it, because I understand the tension. I understand the tension that many of you are going through, because you hear me talking about serving. You hear me talking about signing up for Grow Track. And you're understanding what I'm saying and all of that. You're getting what God is speaking to you, though, but you're reluctant and hesitant because you're thinking of how busy you are, or the struggle you have, or the pain life has brought you, the energy maybe you don't have. So I understand that, because I've been in that position before. The truth is, I can't understand your circumstance or what's going on in your life, what hurt you have encountered or battles you're going through, but God does, and yet he still calls you to be a blessing. Life doesn't dictate the blessing God created you to be. Point number two, life doesn't dictate the blessing God created me to be. I put me because I want you to personalize that, because only you know what's going on in your life. You are blessed to be a blessing. Say this with me on count three. I'm blessed to be a blessing. One, two, three. I am blessed to be a blessing. Point number three. That was the shortest point in Freedom House history right there. Point number two. But I wanted to get that in there. Point number three. My limitations don't dictate the blessing God created me to be. So there's a couple things going on in this story. Life's happening. But it also, the disciples are presenting Jesus with their limitation instead of their faith, because the level of their faith was not that they could be used as a blessing. The level of the faith was that Jesus was a blessing. So they're presenting him with their limitations. And the Bible says here in Matthew 14 through 15, or 14, 15 through 17. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." There's the challenge. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. So they come to Jesus, and I don't believe that the disciples came in came to Jesus with a selfish perspective. I don't believe they came like, "Man, we got to send these people away because it's a lot of work," because they were already doing ministry with Jesus. They were already seeing the crowds, you know, rising up. I think they just came with a logical or humane perspective of like, "Man, there's a lot of people here. We're concerned for them. They're going to need food. They're going to need to be fed. They've been with you, following you all day. You've been healing them. They're sticking around. But we're going to a remote place because we followed you into a remote place, so there's nothing around. They need to go back and get some food." So they tell Jesus, this is the dilemma. They need to go, but we got to send them back. But Jesus says, like, "You don't need to send them away. You don't need to work it out logically. You don't need that." The disciples were learning from Jesus. They had faith in Jesus, but they just didn't get that part of the teaching yet, that the blessing was to come through them. And this is what their teaching was. For you, this is your teaching, that the blessing is supposed to come through you. That you've been presenting to Jesus like, "This is what's going on in my life. This is the limitations that I have. These kids be acting up. Me and my husband are just always arguing. Come on, I just lost my job." You're presenting Jesus all these limitations. And you know that the blessing comes through him, but you don't know quite yet that the blessing is to come through you. They were doing ministry with him. They were hearing all that he was saying and seeing the healing that was taking place, and yet they felt a need for the people to go away. When you view life, because I think this is what was happening, when you view life through the lens of humanity, you will never realize the blessing God created you to be. Blessed to be a blessing. When you have the perspective of your flesh and what you see in front of you and what's around you and the resources that you got around you, you will never fully realize the blessing that God has called you to be. The disciples didn't fully realize it because they saw it through their own physical eyes that they couldn't be that blessing. And of course, whenever you see that way, you will never see the miracle that's yet to come and take place. And what they didn't see, come on somebody, is that 5,000 were about to get fed. Jesus saw it, and he was teaching that to his disciples. And right now, many of you are needing to see the people that God wants to reach through you, the people that God wants to bring healing to through you, because he's called you to be a blessing. And you've been trying to get rid of a problem for quite some time, and God says, like, "Don't send it away. Come on, you be the blessing to the problem. You be the solution to the problem. You pray, you fast, you speak faith, you prophesy, you give vision." Come on, somebody. That's what God's calling you to. You will be a blessing, a command. You are called to be a blessing. There ain't no doubt about it. There ain't no debate about it. You are called to be a blessing. Christ knew that they were created to be a blessing, and he was to be a blessing. So we challenge your faith and their thinking. And many of your faith and your thinking is being challenged right now. And I hope you don't receive it as me being like, "Oh man, he's being hard." I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just delivering the message. Whether you choose to run with it is up to you. My job is just to be a blessing to you by giving this message. I have to walk my walk, and I get challenged too in how I'm to be a blessing. And sometimes I shrink away and I say, "Lord, forgive me." And sometimes I fully step in. I get it. I go through all the emotional highs and lows of what it is to be a blessing, because being a blessing is difficult at times, especially when you view it through the lens of humanity. By him saying to them, "You give them something to eat," he challenged them just as he was challenging you right now. He challenged their faith. You had the faith to believe me to be a blessing, but now I need you to have the faith to believe that you can be that blessing as well. You know, and the beautiful thing about this is they didn't have to do it alone. It's not like Jesus said, "Peace, you feed them, I'm out." No, he was there every step of the way. He said, "Bring me what you have to me, what you have to me." The only thing we have, they said, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Only, I only have this much time, only this much time. I only have this much to give. I only have this much. I only have this much energy. I only have this much focus. I only have this much discipline. I only have this much faith. But when you bring your only to God, come on, somebody. There's a miracle that God can do with that. But that's the principle that we all struggle with, is bringing him our only, because all of you are great people. And I've talked to many of you, and some of you that I've talked to, many of you I've talked to, and many of you will probably think this way. It's like, man, I want to do so much, but I can't because I don't have that much time. And that's great, and I love the heart, but I want to help you. Bring God your only, what you can do now. When you do that, the vision that you have for yourself about how much more you want to do, the closer you get to that. But if you're always waiting for that time where you can do that, it's never going to come. Because there is no right time. There never is a right time. But there's God's time. There is no best time. But there's God's time. God's time always trumps the best time or the right time, because when it's God's time, that is the best time. And if God's speaking to you, come on, to step into being a blessing, step into being a serving, then guess what? This is the time for you, God's time. Your life will be more blessed doing God's time than trying to find the right time. This is your moment. Many of you are being challenged. Many of you, your thought, like I'm telling you, you know how to make things better. You have that type of mindset. You come through the hallways and you see like, oh man, if I was on that team, this is what I would do. This is how I would add value. And God needs that, because he's called you to that, to build the church. Many of you already mentioned it is Growth Track, and that's the challenge to you. You need to sign up for Growth Track today. You can go online and do that when you get home. That's awesome. But some of you know yourselves. And like, man, once you get home, you ain't signed up for nothing. You need to take that step and do it. You've been saying that they can do it, that can do it. That thinking needs to stop. You need to stop and say, you know what? They can do that, but I know God wants to do something for me. For too long, you have been in the position that you are in, where the disciples are in, right before the miracle takes place, because you're seeing the miracles everywhere. Bam, 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 bam. There's the miracle right there. And you're wondering, like, why is the miracle coming? Because you're still in the same position. It's time for you to be a blessing and see the miracle happen in your life. It's time for you to say, to speak the miracle story. The miracles you've been believing for, you've been waiting for, and the miracles that you have never even thought could come through your life, but God always knew could come through your life. You're blessed to be a blessing. And that comes through operating and being a blessing. God's getting ready to release some miracles in this place. I already know. After this, today, whether it be in here or after this, you guys are going to go full of faith, ready to be a blessing in all that you do. So what do you do now? What do you do now is the question. What are you going to do now? I'm going to read it to you again. Matthew 14:18. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Well, then Jesus says, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. Everybody stand at your feet right now. I'm about to close up. Only you know what you have. Only you know what you have. I can't tell you what you have to give. I can't tell you what you can bring to God so that you can be that blessing and see the miracle come in your life. Only you know. Only you, well, let me say it like this. Only you and God know. God knows it all, but he wants to know if you know it and if you have the faith to act on it. So this is your moment. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. Get that in your spirit. Once you get that in your spirit, you will be able to be the biggest blessing that you could possibly be, in allowing God to do what he can through your limitations and what only you can have.
Hey, Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.